Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear once more a portion of our Old Testament lesson from Leviticus chapter 4. If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he is to present to the Lord a young, unblemished bull as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Our children who have been off at college have found out that money can be a little bit tight during the college days. They find, you know, part-time jobs during the school year and full-time jobs during the summer. But still, with tuition and room and board and gas and food and other things, it can be kind of a struggle. Some of our children have found a renewable source of income in their own bodies. Their blood, donating their blood. Their blood is money. They can earn up to $50, I think, per donation. All it takes is a needle in the arm and you are in and out within about an hour. These Old Testament sacrifices pictured a similar thing for the Israelites. Many of them raised sheep and goats and cattle. Every family owned some or had to buy some. So God, requiring the blood of these animals, that would have been an expense to these Israelites. The God-given ritual of temple sacrifices taught the Israelites over the centuries, and they saw it with their very own eyes, it taught them the value of blood. But it did another thing too, these sacrifices. It taught them that their own blood was not going to work. God required the blood of an animal, but just not any animal, but an animal that was unblemished, pure, perfect. So blood that was not their own, and from a creature that was unblemished. When we talk about our offspring proudly, we might say, well, that's my flesh and blood. They're from me. So blood, in a very real sense, is the essence of life, of our worth. That's why God said in Leviticus chapter 17, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have appointed it to you to make atonement on the altar for your lives, since it is the lifeblood that makes atonement." But the Israelites' own blood, their own worth and value, wasn't good enough. Their lives were greatly blemished, and therefore their blood was contaminated. It could not pay for what their deeds deserved. And when you read through the book of Leviticus and the other four books written by Moses, it becomes very clear that we in the 21st century, with all our knowledge and progress and technology, are blemished in the same way they were. The sins they committed back then are the same sins we commit today. You and I, we are not different. Our tongues are sometimes tainted with slander and gossip, even of our Christian brothers and sisters. Our hearts are full of pride, soaked with arrogance. When we fall short, we justify ourselves sometimes by talking about our good intentions, or we say something like, well, I did the best I could, which is hardly ever the case. Now consider the deeds left undone, kind words that were never spoken that should have been, failing to put the best construction on something someone said or did, rejoicing when somebody else got what they deserved, getting provoked when someone says something to us or about us that we think should not have been said or done. Now just think of the things that are done within our own families. And sometimes, unfortunately, within the congregation. Not to mention the thoughts and the attitudes in our hearts that no one else knows about it except for God, who searches the heart. We have a blemished record, blemished lives, and therefore impure blood that cannot pay for and cover our sins. Our blemished lives and the sins we commit run deep, very deep. And if we think otherwise, you know, consider the words of the hymn writer, the hymn we'll sing tomorrow night again. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. What is the here that he's talking about? Well, he tells us in the next line. Mark the sacrifice appointed. I cannot come to God, the Almighty and the All-Just, and appeal to him on the basis of my goodness as if I had an unblemished life. I cannot appeal to my own flesh and blood. You and I need someone's blood who is distinct from us, separate from us, who comes with a true unblemished life from the time he was conceived until the time he shed his blood. We need someone else's better blood. The better blood was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. It was what all the Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to. The better blood, the only blood that would work. And that was finally provided and serves us now, the blood of Jesus. He and his shed blood were the appointed sacrifice. The New Testament book of Hebrews is in many ways sort of like the sequel to the book of Leviticus. Hebrews points out that all those Old Testament sacrifices commissioned by God have come to an end and have made way to the perfect, lasting, and saving sacrifice. So we read in Hebrews, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow, sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works so that we can serve the living God?" We sometimes say, money talks, and that's true in many situations. But in God the Father's payment office and in his courtroom, there's only one money that talks. Jesus' blood is the money. And it speaks loudly in our behalf. St. John wrote in his first epistle, "If anyone sins, that one who sins has an advocate, a defense attorney, an advocate. He has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the unblemished one. He himself is the propitiation." In other words, he is the blood money that talks. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. So when we enter this house, where God has promised to be present, we are able to do so only because of the blood of Jesus. When we walk around day by day, living as we ought to live, it is only because of the blood of Jesus. When we pray to our Heavenly Father, bringing our requests to Him, and He answers our prayer, it is only because of the blood of Jesus. And when we breathe our last breath on earth, knowing full well that we will enter paradise, it is only because of the blood, the better blood of Jesus. His blood is blood for the living and His blood for the dying. This blood of Jesus, this better blood, was there on the cross paying what no animal could pay and what you and I could never pay. And this blood of Jesus will be present very soon, along with His body, in the sacrament of the altar. Do you need this blood? Your life, your very blemished life, says you do. The blemished and harsh world that you live in says you do. And this blood will not harm you. As you come in repentance, as you come with faith in this blood that has covered all your sins, as you come believing that the body and blood are truly present in the bread and the wine, it will only bless you. It will only comfort you. It will only assure you. It will only strengthen you. Amen.